On the Therapy Dogs Australia podcast today, Sam had the opportunity to speak with Sue Clark-Smith, a social worker and child and family practitioner who originally did our clinical course with her senior dog, Mickey. And upon deciding the work would be too demanding for him, Sue made the decision to instead adopt a rescue puppy called Fonzie, who's now graduated as a therapy dog to work alongside her. They discuss ongoing training and preparations when starting an outdoor practice and the challenges that go along with that. There are some visual elements to this podcast at the end, which may be better suited to watching on YouTube.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Therapy Dogs Australia podcast. We have got a new guest for you today, which is the wonderful Sue Clark-Smith. We don't have Maxine with us today, so we might go a little bit haywire since she keeps us on track, but that's okay. We will make do without Max this week. She'll be back next week. So, would you like to introduce yourself and talk a little bit about who you are, what your job is, and who your dog is? And actually, before we get started, I'd like to say congratulations to you because you've just graduated the course, which is very, very exciting. So well done.
Yeah, very excited about that. Thanks, Sam. So I'm Sue. I'm here in Albany in Western Australia. We're about 420 k's south of Perth. I'm a social worker. So last year I did the clinical course with Therapy Dogs Australia, and I also graduated my social work degree, which took me about 13 years. I started, had a baby, you know, renovated a house, lived a bit, and then came back to it. So finally on the road to where I want to be. So I currently have two jobs. So I have my main job, which is with Relationships Australia in their Four Families program. I'm a family practitioner. So we're a mental health and parenting service.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been here for about a year now. I did my final placement with these guys and then they offered me a job. So it was perfect timing for me. And I also have just started private practice as a social worker. Yeah.
Awesome. So one of the things, so I spoke to Donna from Everyday Dogs. What's her business? Everyday Dogs?
Yeah, that's one.
Yeah. Who did your temperament assessment over there in WA when it came through, and I was like, oh, this team, like the tenacity in it, you know, like they did the course and then had a dog and then change dogs and good on them, saw it through. And then you're just telling me it took like, what was it, 12 or 13 years to do your social work degree. So this is definitely a personality trait of yours, I think, Sue, that you're just like, right, I'm getting it done. I'm doing it.
It is. And usually I think, you know, looking back how I do things, usually I put in really good groundwork before I take something on. Like I really like wholeheartedly go for it. Sometimes life gets in the way.
Yeah, it does. And that's like one of the things that I think, we see it a fair bit, we do, but I thought people might like to hear your story of, so you did the clinical course. When was that again? Sorry?
Like beginning of last year.
Yeah. So beginning of 2023. And you took your dog through, which dog was that went through that with you?
So Mickey.
Yep. And then why didn't you continue with Mickey?
His health and age was just a big barrier. When I initially signed up for the course, I really didn't know what to expect. So I thought, you know, let's give it a go. And I did it with Mick. We did all the training. I did all the recordings as though I was going to continue and get him assessed.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I wanted a really good experience of that and to really understand it. But then I decided I wasn't going to do the assessment with him. It was his thing, but it just wouldn't have been fair on him. Like in the stage of life he was in, I felt just wasn't right.
I love that though. Like I really admire when people make that decision for their dog because they can see like, and I think I'll let you comment, but what I'm hoping to achieve through the courses with people is to help them understand that it is a big job. It's a big job for a dog to do, and it's not all going to be easy every day. There's definitely a lot of easy days. It's not easy every day. And the expectations that we have to have on the dogs, we do have to have a standard. And I've got two senior dogs, and I wouldn't have started with either of them. Some people do, and their dogs cope well with it. So, you know, just because you've got a senior, we just passed a senior dog, greyhound. So, but that person's aware that, the workload is gonna, it's a visitation dog. So the workload's going to be a lot less, and, you know, it's not going to be for that long of a time and all those sorts of things. So once you decided that, what was the next step for you?
Well, so I had my final placement last year, which is 500 hours, I think, of full-time work.
All right.
Unpaid. Ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So that started in July. I think the 10th of July was my first day here. And my family and I decided, like, once I finish my placement, which would be about November, then I could get another dog. So I was 3 days into my placement. My lovely co-worker Chantelle, I'm right into rescues. I just really mm-hmm. love the idea of giving a dog a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
So I was scrolling through the Albany Animal Welfare Facebook page, and Coolie Puppies come up. And I was like, oh, they talked about that on the clinical course that I did with Therapy Dogs Australia. Someone mentioned Coolie being a great breed for therapy dogs. And I was like, well, I've never heard of them. So I did a bit of research. And then I came to work on the third day. I was like, Chantelle, look at these puppies. And she has two big German Shepherds. She raises them like children. Like, oh, my God, the care and attention that goes into her dogs. So she was the right person to talk to.
Yeah.
And she said, well, I know the lady that runs Albany Animal Welfare. So she called her. The next day at lunchtime, we took off and met the puppies.
Oh, my goodness.
And then by Saturday, I pulled into my driveway with him, and my husband was in the front paddock, and I just put the window down and handed him out the window.
Oh, my goodness.
My family weren't aware that I'd done it.
Oh, my God.
So my husband took him, and I just drove off and parked the car.
Yes, I love that.
He went for a little walk around the garden, and then he came back and he goes, oh, love him so much.
Oh, my God.
You're going to call him Fonzie. And I was like, okay.
All right, everybody should be taking notes right now, because this is how you get a new dog over the line. Oh, my God. I love that so much. I love that you – I'm a big believer in asking for forgiveness, not permission. So
oh, I was so stressed, and I had to, like, borrow a dog crate and get everything. It was just – a whirlwind, but
oh,
I knew
we'd
manage it, you know. I know what we're like. We just do stuff.
Just get it sorted, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. I love that. Perfect. And so that's how you ended up with little Fonzie. How old was Fonzie?
He was 9 weeks old when I got him.
Oh, bless. So a little coolie, what have you learned about coolies?
I've learned so much. Working dogs are very smart and have very high energy levels, like no other dog I've ever had. We're a very active family, so that's great. Super easy to train, just so smart. He just does things and I'm like, wow, you're absolutely amazing. Very loyal, very obedient, loves to be with us. Can be a little shy at first. As he's grown, we've seen lots of changes in him. You know, the dogs go through those different stages where suddenly they might just be scared of the world and everything just freaks them out. We've seen him go through those stages. And his current stage, because he's 15 months now, he is very cuddly. He likes to sit on your lap. He likes to kiss your face now, whereas he wouldn't kiss your face before. So we're loving that part of him. And just super fun dog to have around.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Really awesome. So when you did your, so you did the course, different dog, practiced all the training, had all that going, and then went, okay, don't think this is going to be right for this dog. I might just sneak a new puppy into my house. and then how did you go with a 9 week old? Did you get started straight away? Were you utilizing tone of voice? How did that go?
Yeah, straight away. I had found that practicing that tone of voice with Mickey was really useful. But when I first started with Fonzie, he's very sensitive.
Hmm.
But he gets really offended if you
Yeah.
use a stern tone with him. So I have to, practice just being really calm around him, really gentle and soft. Because the softer I am, the more response I get out of him.
Yeah. My
So,
border collie's the same.
yeah.
You only need
Yep.
the tiniest little bit of tone, and he's like, just you've got his attention immediately. And he's, yeah, if
Yeah.
you use too much tone with him, he will get like upset.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
if I say Fonzie with boy,
Yeah.
he freezes and like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Bless their little hearts. And so you worked on your obedience and manners videos, and so for people that don't know, you don't have to do the course again when you get a new dog, or if you want to train a second dog or anything like that. So you don't need to do the course again. You've still got access to all the training videos and everything like that. So you can, can start training your next dog up independently, or you can do our classes as well. We've got classes for young dogs if it's a young dog. And then you prepared yourself for the videos and got a score of 30 out of 40, if I'm not mistaken, which is great.
Yeah, was it 30? I haven't added, I didn't really look at, I just saw the pass and went, what?
Pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was. Because I was talking to Donna about it.
So when I got the marking sheet back from that, I really enjoyed the extra notes that you guys put in there about, that's really cool. And now you might want to try something else. So, like with the recall, when he comes back to me, then moving with him and him not leaving my bubble wherever I go. Like, I
Yeah.
really, that was so good to give me more ideas of how to extend what we already know.
Yeah, I think Carly marked your videos, and she's really good with that. Really, really cool. Very just will acknowledge like this is so great we're up to. If you want to keep working on this, you could try this. But
Yeah.
you know, it's a great score. You don't have to. Like you can do whatever, but if you want to, you can do this, which is awesome. Okay, so then you did your temperament assessment. How did that go?
Interesting. That was challenging. I
Why?
first started
What
talking to
makes it
Donna.
hard? Sorry,
Yeah,
I
so I
talked over
first
you then. What
started.
did you say?
When I first did the clinical course with Mickey, I contacted Donna to have a chat with her about doing assessments, how it worked.
Yeah.
And just in that initial phone call, I think we were on the phone for about 45 minutes because she's so passionate about
Yeah.
dogs and about training. So that was wonderful. So, and I knew Donna has this really good reputation in Albany.
Yep.
So I felt a lot of pressure to like be perfect. So during the assessment, we went to environments that were unfamiliar to Fonzie, like to places I hadn't taken him. And when we first met up, she said, oh, we'll just go to this coffee shop around the corner. So we did. And it's like an arc, it's a coffee shop on the corner of the road, and it's got like an arcade that goes back. The shop's both sides, it's all tiled. Very cold and echoey, and there was like one table down there, so we sat there. But as we came around the corner, there was a couple with two little dogs on their lap, and they just started going off it. And I was like, oh my God, Fonzie didn't react. So we just sat down, and then I was like completely stressed. I flipped my lid, couldn't think straight, so stressed. I was like sweating, I wasn't breathing, and Donna was trying to help me and like being lovely. But I was like, oh, nah. Too much.
Oh, I wonder what people think when they do their temperament assessments with me. Because we do it down at Redcliffe. There's dogs everywhere. There's people everywhere. It's like a cafe precinct. And I'm just
Yeah.
like, walk it. We go for a walk first. And we walk around and I'm just like, I'll just be chatting about like whatever I want to talk about that day. Like I've got a captive audience here. Like blah 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 blah. And they're probably like freaking out internally. And I'm just like, la la la. So I just walk
Yeah.
around and see what the like, just wait and see if the dog does anything weird.
Yeah.
Oh, funny. It is stressful. So we've talked about that in the podcast before. I'm sure we've prepared people enough. It is stressful. And the feedback that we got from the temperament assessment was not as good as what I was expecting it to be. So there was a few little things there that I was like, oh, I don't know if he's, that comfortable in this type of environment, he's definitely got the traits that it takes to be a therapy dog. Like he's definitely got the personality and he's outgoing and all those sorts of things. He likes people and all that sort of stuff. But I went back to Donna and said, so, because when you do the temperament assessment, it's you're taking a snapshot of the dog in that moment, the dog and the handler in that moment. And when the handler has a tough time with it, like if they get stressed or whatever, that obviously influences the dog. So, when people rock up, like this is all we can assess is what happens in this hour that we're with you, So Donna came back with a few recommendations of just starting him out slowly, basically. So I might as well, I haven't spoken to you about this, but I might as well take people through the procedure. So the temperament assessment comes back to me, and I look at the form, and so the dog trainers have got the ability to we don't send their form to you. So the reason for that is because I want the dog trainers to be as honest as possible on the forms because it's really important. So I don't want them to feel like they have to hold any punches for the teams. Your form was lovely, but when I look at the form, then I go, oh, okay. So and they can make a few recommendations. So not busy spaces, not frail people, no kids. I can, tick boxes like that. And then, they can give me their overall opinion. Can they work safely to can this team work safely together? Blah, blah, blah. So I review all of that and then I look at, okay, well, but how did we go for, oh, it's 33 that you got for obedience assessment. My apologies. That's out
Oh,
of 40. It's pretty good. It's actually really good. What was I saying? So then I look at, okay, oh, okay. Well, so when I look at the obedience scores, then that gives me an idea of like the working relationship and the amount of effort, and time that people have spent with their dogs. So when you have a score like 33, that's like, okay, so you guys are really spending some time together. Like this, you guys are working well together. That's great. Okay, so that's not an issue. Great. Let's look at what's going on here. And then I go back to the trainer. Sometimes I won't need to, but sometimes I'll go back to the trainer and go, what did you, this looking at your form, this is sort of what I'm thinking, and these are the options that we've got. So when we're not too sure about a dog, we can put them on a learner level, and there's just restrictions that come with that. It's us making these recommendations about this is, your dog's technically sort of still in training and blah blah blah. Or we can give people a shorter reassessment date and give them a level one with restrictions, which is what we chose to give you and Fonzie. I discussed that with Don and we went back and forth a little bit and I was like, yeah, you know. And the reason that, so what Sue graduated with was a 6 month, another temperament assessment in 6 months, but not the obedience and manners. And then full assessment in 12 months. So just an in-between temperament assessment in 6 months' time. And we put a couple of restrictions in place. So the reason that we do that is because you've got now you've actually had three dog trainers look at you as a team. And we're all sort of talking and trying to make a good decision about how this is a young dog, this is a great team, but they're in development. So what we really want to do here is set you up for the next 12 years of working with this dog. We don't want to set you up so that it goes pear-shaped in the next 12 months. So when people get there, you get your sort of final score sheet back and you get your certificate and all that sort of stuff. And there'll be, you know, expiry dates and levels and restrictions and stuff like that on it. And the reason that we do that is because we want to support the teams through this, especially your initial assessment, your first assessment, especially that. I can't remember if I said to you, Sue, but you can, if that comes back. So if you have an experience like Sue at her temperament assessment, where you just get like, oh my goodness, like, which happens a lot to a lot of people. So when that happens, you can actually elect to just do your temperament assessment straight away again. Like you can just go like, oh no, I just freaked out and I just want to try a different environment and something that's, you know, we can try something more similar to our workplaces and, you know, an environment the dog already knows, or you can choose an environment and, you know, take the dog there a few times or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I think that you were just going to do your next, you've just got the level one. So you're just going to do your temperament assessment again in 6 months. Sue, is that what you're going to do? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be a bit less stressful this time.
Well, I think it will. Now that I've actually met Donna in the face-to-face and, you know, I know, honestly, I know that I can trust Fonzie. I know how wonderful he is.
Mm.
So it's just getting myself under control.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all part of the journey. Like, it's all part of it. And I think that you and Fonzie probably don't need those restrictions and you probably don't need a temperament assessment in 6 months' time. Like, I think that you probably could have, on a different day and in a different headspace yourself, could have cruised through that and there would be no, it would just be like tick, 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 yep, great team. But the reality is that on the day of the assessment, this is what is in front of the dog trainer and this is what they score. We can't just be like, oh, they're probably fine, you know. So yeah, congratulations, well done. I think it's pretty exciting after all this work that you've done and getting a new dog and then putting all that work into the dog, and then obviously, which we can obviously see from your obedience and manners assessment, and then getting through that stressful temperament assessment. It's awesome. Is Donna close enough to you? Can you do your next temperament assessment in your working environment?
Yeah, I can. So Donna and I, we have a session booked next week. She's going to go through some, what does she call it? Social development in urban environments and the office.
Mm-hmm.
Is what we're going to do with Fonzie next.
Yeah.
So we'll keep working together right up until my next assessment, and then she'll do that as well.
Perfect. And that can be at any time too, if you, like if you're working with Donna and she just goes, this dog's so fine, like this is done, tick, you know, that can be at any time. So you don't have to wait until 6 months. It's fine.
Yeah, I think, see how we go. I think I'll just take it slow, you know, not put too much pressure on it. There's no point in rushing.
That's exactly it. Love that attitude because it's such a young dog, and it's really, dogs are still adolescents at that age. So they are still developing, and that first, because we do the first assessment of young dogs if people want to when they're 12 months old. But we're fully aware that the dogs are adolescents at that age. So they're, easily influenced and they go through phases of behavior and emotions and all those sorts of things, and we've just got to be really aware of that and make sure that we're supporting them through that at that time period. So I really like to hear that, it's like just go at Fonzie's pace. That's all we need to do.
About the training for the next 6 months, I really wanted to keep Donna on board with Fonzie's journey because, I've learned so much through the clinical course about training dogs that I'm at my limit where we're at.
Yep.
So I really need the extra support to make sure I set Fonzie up as best I can in these bigger environments that we're both not familiar with, really.
Yeah.
I know how to give space and to read body language and to look at thresholds and stuff like that, and moving away to get some breathing space, and then generally, like, really slowly creeping back closer to whatever it is that's the scary thing. But that's pretty much it, and I
Yeah.
can hold Fonzie's collar and I can be like, settle. That doesn't always work. So it really could get some more tools in my belt there.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great tip for everybody else as well. If you connect with your who's going to be doing your temperament assessment, because we've got the list. So if you connect with them and then start working with them, it also means that they have such a greater, we have quite a few people that do this. And so when the time for their temperament assessment comes around, it's a lot easier for the dog trainer, and it's a lot easier for the handler and dog team as well, because they've already got that existing relationship and the dog trainer's already seen the dog in a number of different invite, especially if you've done one-on-one training. Some people do group training, and that's fine. That the dog trainer is getting to see the dog on a regular basis, and I think getting that support and keeping up, okay, building your skills and stuff like that. I think you've just explained that perfectly. Like, we give people enough of what you need to get going. But I would really love people to take a keen interest in the actual art and science of dog training. And there's like billions of techniques and things that you can learn, and there's dog sports, and there's all these different things that you can be doing with your dog. And I'm learning all the time as well. So I listen to dog training podcasts like all the time. I'm talking to other dog trainers like all the time. I just went and did Pat Stewart's dog camp a few months, like it's all the time. So I really appreciate that when people take a keen interest in learning dogs properly, and even if that comes down to like nutrition, like learning about nutrition for dogs and stuff like that. I think if you want to be a professional dog handler, which is what we are when we're taking our dogs into our professional work setting, I think it's a great idea to kind of get your dog nerd thing sort of happening. I love that. What does Fonzie like to do for fun? Is he into any sports or anything?
He loves the water. He loves the ocean. He loves jumping through waves. We bought him a life vest, which is so cheesy. I'm like, he can swim, but when we're all in the ocean swimming, he likes to be out there. But he gets tired, so he has to go in, and
Yeah.
we're all still at deep, so that gives him extra time in the water with us, where he doesn't have to be waiting.
I
We've
think
just started.
life vest for dog swimming is a great idea. Just putting that on the record. But yep, keep going. Sorry.
So we've started some agility just in our backyard.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. He loves jumping through a hoop, even if
Yeah.
I like hold it up at shoulder height, he's in there. And I bought a tunnel, a kids' play tunnel from Kmart, and he just loves flying through that
Oh my gosh, that's so cute.
and weaving in between, the sticks. So when I started that, I set up, I was like, right, this is what we're doing. We've got these, we use electric fence posts that are like mobile ones.
Yeah.
So I set it all up and then we did it a couple of times and I was like, oh, nah, this isn't working. I'm doing something wrong here. So then I went on YouTube and started Googling how to teach your dog it. See, when you first start, I don't know if you've ever done this, but you have six poles. You put them in a line and then you take every second one out. So there's this straight channel for your dog to go through. And then you
wait,
slowly...
Are they, so are they like this? Like
yeah.
They're not like this?
No, they start off like that.
Okay.
You've got two rows. So you run through that way and then you slowly bring these in. And you say, weave, 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 as you go through. And the dog just goes straight. And then when they get a bit closer, your dog starts having to bend through. And that's when they're really listening to you, weave, weave, weave. And when you get to your line, then you put them out on angles so that the dog has more. And then you slowly build up. So we are at the stage where our poles are like this.
And do you know what? This is so helpful because I bought those poles ages ago from like Kmart. Did you get them from Kmart?
No, we're actually just using our electric fence ones that we use.
Oh, you just said that. Sorry. I bought some of these random poles as well. And they're just like, I got them out of the I got them out of the packet and like put them somewhere because I was like, I'm going to teach the dogs to do this. And then I just never did it. But now I know how to do it. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm just so surprised. Like, Fonzie will go ahead of me and I'll be like, wee, wee, wee. And he'll just do, do, do. And I'll be like, oh, I can't believe you're doing that on your own, like without me standing next to you and running next to you. And yeah, it's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So just a good, fun dog, really. Just loves balls, chasing anything that's flying through the air.
Yeah. That's great. Just having fun with your dog. So you work from home as well. And this is your private practice that you've started. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? Because I think people would really love to hear what you're doing there because it sounds pretty awesome.
Sure. So my private practice is called Peaceful Paddocks Wellness Services. So it's therapy in nature, pretty much. So I'm just about to start my canine therapy journey. So I've had a client that I've seen for about 6 or 7 sessions. That client is fully aware that he's my first client and he's helping me learn my business and he's helping Fonzie learn his place. So we go out to different places, like we go down out to the bush for nature walks, we go down to the beach, we have a big sporting complex down here called Centennial Park, and there's beautiful walking tracks that are just flat and lovely, so we go walking down there. I have equine therapy in my business, so that's out in nature as well, and I've also had a client there who's helping me get that started. So we go out for massive nature walks in this beautiful, amazing bushland in Lower King. So it's just full of gorgeous plants and trees and birds. Just amazing. Just out. It's gorgeous. I just love it. And then I also do play therapy. And, of course, I think when I'm doing play therapy, it's great for me to be able to help kids and young teens, but you know, I can only do so much. Really, they need their parents to sort of be skilled up in help supporting them through whatever it is they're going through. So I also do some parenting support. So I have a bit of a wait list at the moment, and that's just because I'm really starting out. Like, I just don't – there's so much pressure when you're starting private practice. I was like, you just want to be out doing everything, and I've just had to sort of put my boundaries up and go, I'm not ready. Let's just do this sort of one step at a time. So It's going really, really well. Absolutely love it. Just getting some really positive feedback from the people I have been working with. You know, Bombi, watching him with this client, he's really helped that bond between me and the client. You know, there's these magic moments between the client and Bombi, and the client would just look at me with these big bright eyes, and I'll be like, yeah, that was so cool. You did this or you did that. You know, if he teaches Fonzie a trick, or if Fonzie follows an instruction that he's given, or if someone's come up to us to have a chat about the dog and my client's been able to tell that person about the dog, like, it's just so beautiful. Just love it.
Pretty awesome. So I'm looking at your Facebook page. Peaceful Paddocks Wellness Services, everybody. So who is your horse, MacGyver? Who am I looking at here? He's pretty cute.
He's adorable.
And it looks like, like there's times when you're taking people down to the beach and Fonzie just gets to live his best life, just swimming around.
Yeah, just hanging out.
That's pretty, I don't know if Fonzie knows this, but he's probably landed the best setup. And he started out as a little rescue puppy and he's landed in Peaceful Paddocks heaven. So lucky him. How does he get along with your horse?
Oh, really, really well. So when I first got Bondi, I just kept them apart. I was just like, you're so little and precious, and MacGyver's so in your face and wants to be with you. I was like, oh, I was so nervous that Bondi was going to get hurt. So I sent my horse over to Denmark, which is about 50 Ks away, to Horsepower, so that's disabled riding. MacGyver and I have done that together for about 2 years. So they were more than happy to take MacGyver for me and look after him, just so I can keep Fonzie safe in his first few months. And then we brought MacGyver back when Fonzie was a bit bigger. And they just perfect. Just Fonzie will watch MacGyver, who will lay there, he'll run around him, and MacGyver will sort of sniff Fonzie, and they'll be following each other down the paddock. Like, it's just beautiful. And then the funniest thing happened just last week. My husband and I went down to get MacGyver out the paddock, and he was probably six paddocks away from us, just right at the back. And I was like, MacGyver. And, you know, 100% of the time, MacGyver will come to me because he's like food, and he'll gallop there. This time he looked at me and was like, meh, nah. And he put his head down and started eating. And I was like, MacGyver. And he looked again, he was like, no. And he just carried on eating. And then Fonzie just went, oh, I've got this. And he took off to the paddock, rounded him up and brought him back. And then he took off to get the other horse that was there and brought that back too. And I was like, us and I were looking at each other, trying not to freak out. I said that's his natural ability, like that's what he's blood's so great. So yeah, it was very scary watching it, but yeah, I definitely want to do something with that,
As
with
long as
Fonzie.
MacGyver's happy to be herded, sweet.
Yeah, like he didn't gallop back, but he trotted.
Got going, yeah. I accidentally I opened my gate to the paddock this morning and I just lazily latched it, like the chain goes through the gate and onto the latch on the pole, but I just latched it on the gate because I was just going to get Winter out of the paddock. This is at breakfast time. So I was putting her in the house yard. And Kiki, my LGD, and Nala were playing, like they were distracted. And I was like, oh, be hit back in a sec. Like the horse is like right there, Nah. Like 1 second in, and Kiki, the LGD, has pushed through the gate and now she's loose in the paddock. And I was like, oh no. She's 7 months old, doesn't really do anything I ask her to do unless she just for some magical reason agrees that that's a good idea right now. Like she's like, she doesn't have any biddability. Like, she's just like, she's compliant if she thinks, like, yeah, that's a good idea. So I was like, damn it. Like, because she said, now all the horses are standing there. And I was like, I don't want to make a fuss because she hasn't been, like, I've had her around them on lead. Like, she's met them all and had her around them on lead. But she'll still fence run if they are running around at night. She'll still fence run and bark at them. So I'm like, oh man, okay. But she just like walked over like to the first horse. She's like, hi, gives him a little sniff, and they kind of looking at her, and she's like, they'll look on the nose, and they're like, ah. And she's like, off she goes to the next couple. And I'm thinking, what is she like? Please don't, because the horses are playful too. So I'm like, please. Please. And she just said hello and then just wandered off down the thing. And I was like, thank God. And I was like, I'm just going to get Winter out of here and then I'll come back and, convince this dog that it, because she loves the paddock. Like, I take her for walks out there. She loves it. And I was like, oh man, it's not fenced. So that's why it's only like horse fencing. So that's why I don't like her out there, you know? But anyway, she just did her little thing with the horses and then she just came back. By the time I got back to the gate, I was like, I'm just gonna leave this and just see if she gets bored. And I put Winter in a yard and came back and she was at the gate, like, let me back in the house yard. I was like, ah, oh, that was easy. Phew. But I had one of those moments too. I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, you just have to hold your breath, don't you? Ooh,
Yeah.
what's happening?
Then I had another one like 20 minutes later. So I put all the horses in the yards and gave them their breakfast. I was like, this is a good time to get down to the dam and let the dogs have a little play. There's a couple of ducks with ducklings down there. And I'm like, didn't see them. And so I let the dogs out, like, run down there. And I was like, here we go. Because I see that. And I'm like, I took my hat off. And I'm behind the dogs and they're distracted because they just run straight into the water. The ducks are sort of on the land of it. And I'm like waving my hat and my arms to be like, there's people here, ducks, like, because there's a creek down the, like, they could just keep going that way and they could just go in the creek. So I'm like waving my hat, just being like, Kiki's gonna chase these ducks away from their ducklings and like eat all these ducklings or something. Like, and then I'm like waving at the ducks and then they like walk towards me and just keep coming and they just get in the dam. And I was like, seriously? Like, come on. Come on, guys, like, trying to save your lives here. But I was another moment again. I was like, oh no, damn it. But it was fine. It was, we just stayed away and I distracted Kiki and yeah.
With Kiki, do you do the same sort of training as you do with the other dogs?
She gets this very, very similar style. So she gets tone of voice, that sort of stuff. If she gets corrections, if she does something stupid. She'll get a leash pop or, something like that. She's a management sort of scenario. So lots of on, she's on lead nearly all the time. Like, she's dragging a lead through the paddock, like, she's on lead pretty much all the time. Or she's tied up or she's in her pen. Nala likes to play with her at the moment. She's banned from touching Sunny, who's my 12 and a half year old dog. So she's not allowed, because she was bumping into him. He's so old. She'd bump into him and he'd just like hit the deck, like, she's not mean, but she's just clumsy and 50 kilos. So she's been getting corrections for, so she knows leave it. So she gets a leave it. And if she doesn't leave it, she'll get a no and collar pops. For she's not allowed to play with Sunny. She's not allowed to. I had to make it a complete ban, because I can't trust her to regulate her arousal. Does that make sense? Like, I can't trust her to play gently, because she doesn't know what that is. And her size is, she's 7 months old, like, and she's massive. So, yeah, she gets all the same of that. Same, so she doesn't have to do, she does boundaries, like, she has to do boundaries. She can sit and drop. I don't ask her to drop very much. We use the sit. But yeah, all the same methods. So the recall, is the same, but I do we'll do a training session with her on the lead, but I try not to use it if I don't have the lead, because they just don't listen. Like they just she's like, I'm just doing whatever. So you gotta try not to ruin your recall, you know? Like, so that's why when things happen, like she's out in the paddock, I'm just like, so I use things like, let's go, come on. Like that's how I got away from the ducks. Is it I was like, I want to distract her. So I'm like, let's go, which is what I say when we're all moving on. So then they just know, like, oh, we're all going somewhere. So I said, let's go. And then I like ran in the other direction and she just came with me. So that's the kind of thing that I do to try and prevent. But I do that with any puppy to like I would never use a recall word on a puppy. And you should like because she's off lead, so I can't follow through. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so yeah.
She doesn't have a mat thing. She doesn't do a mat thing. Yeah. But pretty much the same. Just a far less biddable dog.
Yeah, I found that all the obedience training that we give through the clinical course spreads out in every other area of Fonzie's life. You know, like the boundary is amazing because we can open the gate to our property and leave, and he won't go near it. You know, he's so sensitive. He waits 3 meters back, and he'll just sit there like, "Oh, really?" With a really sad look on his face, but he won't come and chase us up the street. And then, you know, when we're out on our bush walks, he won't go. I've set in tons of different boundaries. Just to make sure he doesn't go off on a different track without me. He just stops and waits. And that's, you know, really useful. Especially if another dog's coming and I'm like, good boy. And he'll just drop and wait. Fantastic.
That's how I use it too. Yeah, all my other dogs. So Kiki will sort of respond. So being a young dog, she's so when I say like, oh, she's far less biddable, like she's an LGD, she's all blah blah blah. It's but just the opposite of that sensitivity that you've got, like in your border collie and your coolie and that sort of thing. She's just the opposite of that. Like it's just she's like very unfazed by stuff, you know, which is the breed, like she's meant to be. When she's in a reasonable state of arousal, she can respond. Like she understands, like she understands tone, like she understands the word sit, she understands what her recall is. When she gets worked up, so you know, first thing in the morning or first thing when I let her out of pen in the evening, when she's in that zoomy kind of and she's doing rough play with Nala and all that sort of stuff, that's a really tricky time for her. So I try not to use much with her then and just intervene and manage. So she like same thing, like I don't really ask much of her then and I don't really correct her much then because she can't she's not there mentally. Like she's just on another planet, because of her arousal. But that would be the same for like lots of young dogs. Like lots and lots of young dogs would be as soon as they get over aroused, like there's no point. You know, can't really communicate clearly with them when they're like that. And so that's why she's dragging the lead all the time. And I just pick up the lead and just because I get frustrated because it's just chaos, like far out. And so I just pick up the lead and then she's just, it's almost like a timeout, but it's a, we're just doing stuff around the farm. So she just is with me, you know, and it gives everyone else a break, gives Nala a break from the play. And, you know, Kiki gets to settle down a bit because she's got now all those options of all those decisions that she could have made about how many ways she could try to have fun have all gone because she's just on the lead with me and she's pretty good on her lead. She's allowed to pull into her flat collar, but we have a slip lead that she's not allowed to pull into. But I use the flat collar like day to day because we're just cruising around getting stuff done. But I ask her to walk on a loose lead on a slip lead.
I think that's really important what you just said, which I've been sort of been thinking about it. You know, if they're at that higher arousal state, you know, don't put a recall in there because you can't follow through with it. You've got no way if they're not on the lead already. Like when we're out on our bushwalks and he's distracted, I've been thinking, oh, I wonder if he'll come yet. And if I've got a squeaky toy, he will. But then I'm like, well, if he doesn't, what am I going to do? I've got no follow through. I can't chase you.
That's what I like about that tone too. When you, because you kind of know, like, so if you're on that bushwalk and they get a bit far ahead and you go, good boy, and you see him respond to that, then I know he's going to recall, like, because he's already listening to me and I've already brought the arousal down a bit. I always like to use that bit of tone first just to sort of suss out where's the dog's head at, like, because they should respond, we should see them respond to the tone. It's like Nala's recall would be like 99%. Like she's really, really onto it. Same with Oliver, and Sonny used to be when he was younger. But like, so this morning when she saw the ducks swim out to the middle of the dam, she saw them and started swimming out to them. She retrieves stuff. Like, so she'll swim out and retrieve lilies out of the dam and bring them back. So she's swimming out, like she's jumped in and she's swimming out, and I was going, nah, and she just stops and turns around and swims back. Like that's the level of, that's pretty good for, you know, she's a pretty intense drivey dog around the water. So like with her, I know I can use her recall, but with, I didn't even bother with Kiki at all this morning. I was like, she's just on another planet. And then she just didn't, I just put her in a pen after she squashed Nala and hurt her arm, leg, and she was fine. But, you know, I was like, just having a real day today, Kiki. I think I might just put you in your pen. You can have breakfast in there today, actually. And then, yeah. Which is another great management strategy. Like she's only 7 months. I'm in this, like this breed that takes a long time to come out of their adolescence. So I'm only in the very beginning of dealing with these, mornings and evenings where I'm like, oh my goodness. But I can make it easier for myself by not having all the dogs out together. Which she is used to that too. She's a totally different dog. Like, you know, she's just so, so excited by Nala because they do rough play and it's just chaos and they both love it. So by changing, that's another management thing, you know, like changing that around, then I can get away with making life easier. That makes life easier for me, but things take longer because I've got to run both sets of dogs, you know, exercise them. It's something that, that's why I asked, how does your dog get along with your horses? Because it's so handy when all your animals get along. Like it's a big time saver. I don't know if you've ever had animals that don't get along. I haven't had animals that don't get along, except for like what you said about Fonzie with having a young dog. It's like a lot more management.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like I'm at the stage now where I can go riding and Fonzie can come with us.
Yeah.
That I just love, that's like a dream come true for us. I just love it so much. And he does come back when I need him to.
Yeah.
You know, he just stick off the tree and I can throw it and he'll just be there. It's really nice to be able to have them together.
I love that. That's so good. Nala can ride, can come with us as well, but she's just not really like, doesn't have the endurance. It's required.
Yeah, don't go for long rides. Fonzie hasn't either. But I would love for him to be able to jump on the top of my saddle and like sit in front of me. And
that'd be perfect.
We'll work towards that, I think.
That would. I hope you get that to that point and can send me a photo because that's pretty awesome. I love when I see people doing stuff like that. It makes me want to get a little Kelpie so I can, like, do stuff like that. I've taken Nala to my friend's property and we all went for, like, a big ride and all the dogs were with us and she, like, struggled. She's like, this sucks. She's just like going off into the bush to just like have a little rest. I was like, where's the dog? Poor thing.
love.
So, if anyone's still listening to us just talking about our day-to-day chores and lives, I think people will be interested to know. So, how do you start an outdoor practice, do you think? Like, what are some of the things that you had to consider, some of the challenges? Because I listened to a webinar on this the other day, and I think it was kind of becoming a bit more, people are a bit more interested in it. This kind of approach, which I've been doing for a while as well, and I'd just like to hear what other people are what challenges you've had and what things you've got to kind of account for.
Yeah, so I think one of my priorities is confidentiality. So I like to go to more secluded places, if that's what we need in a therapy session. If we're talking about some personal stuff, and I don't. Although Fonzie's little Therapy Dog Australia bandana arrived yesterday, I won't be putting that on him during session
Yeah, I don't
because I
wear it
don't
out.
want it's nice. So definitely where we're going is a big thing. Sun protection is really important for where we are.
Yeah.
Body
Mozzies.
protection.
Yeah.
Snakes need to be thought about. Like Fonzie's done his snake avoidance training. He did that when he was 5 months old.
Yeah.
And we've got a refresher in a couple of weeks' time. So that's a big one. Mobile reception is really important for me to think about. Bees is another one I've had to manage. So we don't get milkshakes and go for walks where there might be bees. That doesn't end well. And the weather is big. Like I'm out in all weathers. I won't cancel a session because of weather unless it's going to be dangerous. Sometimes clients don't want to go out in the wind and the rain, and that's absolutely fine too. There's other places we can go that are sheltered and water for Fonzie and us, I guess, as well. But I have been out and I have forgotten to pack his water bottle, and I've been like, oh my God, I've given him mine. I'm like, I'm going to be thirsty by the Yeah, so lots of stuff to think about when you're outside.
Do you have a, I've got a little caddy that's got sunscreen and Mozzie stuff in it that's left, and like horse brushes and stuff that gets left out. Because that's the kind of thing, if you forget, it's a real pain. It's a pain. Do you pack a bag? Like, so because you go to the beach and stuff, do you have like a bag where you keep like a spare of everything in there? Like a kit?
I've got two backpacks. So I've got one that stays in the car and one that is in my house. So I always take the one with my house with me. But if I forget it, then there's the one in the car. So there's always a full kit wherever we go, first aid and stuff. And yeah, that's really important. One of the things thinking about Fonzie's work is I don't let him out with the horses before we go on a session because he'll sometimes go out and eat horse poo. And then when he's in the car, he vomits it in the back seat. So
Great.
that's definitely something I have to think about every time as well. Yeah.
Excellent. Duck poo around here. Oliver will roll in it if he finds it. So I got to watch. Like this morning, I took the dogs down to the dam because I don't have face-to-face clients until this afternoon. Because one of the issues that I get is like the dogs are wet. So then, like our dog room here is inside. I don't. I have the dogs inside, horses, goats outside, and I can't really put them in here. People don't want to pat them if they're wet, so I
Yeah.
have to try and kind of, yeah. Or if I sometimes I've got kids that want to take the dogs down to the dam, but I've got to be really careful because it's I kind of need to lock the horses up because sometimes we can go down there and it's fine because the dam's in the horse paddock. Sometimes we can go down there and it's fine, but sometimes the horses are like, this is fun, and they want to get involved. And then the dogs are like, oh, because they chase them. The Brumbies will chase them. And the dogs don't like that. It's not every time, but sometimes the horses will be like, this is funny. And the dogs just are like, and then I'm like, oh God. The dogs are trying to like run back up to the house. And the horses are just like, and then the horses get the zoomies, and I'm like, far out. It's chaos. So I try and avoid that. Because I don't think it's really that safe for anybody involved. Snakes is a big one for us too. So coming into snake season at the moment, and I'm in my, because I've just had winter, even though we had snakes still popping up during winter, but cleaning out all my enclosures, making sure everything's spick and span. There's no hidey places for snakes because the last thing that I need is to accidentally come across a snake in someone's session. It's very dangerous. Don't want that. I think the confidentiality thing you mentioned is really important as well. I do the same similar things. It's really hard to set up if have you got neighbors close by? Yeah. And can they see, do they know that you run sessions from home? Like, can they see into your paddocks, that sort of thing?
No, we're very private. We've planted heaps of trees around. My husband's built this really nice veggie patch, so there's about eight now, I think, raised garden beds. So they block out and they stop the sound traveling as well.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I used to have a my old neighbor. I got new neighbors now, and they're so good. But my old neighbor was very problematic. Like, if I did sessions in my front paddock, because we share, not really, we both have driveways on our side of the fence, but we come, it's at the end of a court. So we come off of the council road in a shared driveway, and then it splits. But he just had no, I tried, he was really old. I tried to explain to him, can't, if I'm out here, especially if I'm with people, I'm working, so you can't come over and talk to me because I'm working. But he would do it, and I like got really like, I just can't use that front paddock because it'd be very disruptive to people's sessions. And then I had this little girl with me who was like, I don't know, like 10. And he decided to come over to the fence and start yelling out this whole story about how the dingo killed his dog the night before. And I was like, I know the dingo killed your dog. I heard it. Like, yep. Can we? And I'm like, going, stop. Like, just by this point, I'm yelling at him. Like, you know, trying to look, you know, not like a aggressive person to my client. I was like, this is a very difficult situation to manage because he was telling this bullet, like going through what exactly the last moments of this dog, this little dog that he had. And I was like, stop. And then I had her in the paddock with me with horses. And then I was like walking towards the fence of my paddock. When then there's my driveway, then there's like a bit of land, and then there's the fence, and he was at that fence. And I'm like walking towards him going, stop, 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 stop. And I had to like get right up, but it takes your attention and focus off of this kid that's with the horses. But I'm trying to make this person stop telling this story that's very traumatic about the dingo ate your dog last night. Like, can you please? It was not good. Not good. I had to stop doing that. But I've got new neighbors now, everybody. So, and they are amazing. Yeah, things like that can happen. Yeah, the other thing that I've had, I don't know how you structure your sessions, but the other thing I've had is like the next client arriving like really quite early. And my setup is like, I've kind of like, the house is sort of in the middle, and my area with the dogs is, it's like that room would have been built as a garage on the house. That's what the kind of room that it is. It just never was a garage. It was always like made into a room. But it's right out, like it's its own area, you know? So like it's perfect for to have it as an inside clinic space. And then I've got like the big carport is next to that where people park, and I've got my couch under there for a waiting area. But we've got goats to the side of that, horses down in that paddock, dogs in here, chickens up on that side of the back, and then I've got the horse arena and round yard and yard. So sometimes we're up in those areas. So I could kind of be anywhere, just depending. I do a little like real child led, you know, like let them choose the spaces and stuff. And if someone arrives, like some people arrive like 20 minutes early for their appointments, and I find that can be a little bit sort of awkward for the person who's still in their appointment if they are in one of those spaces that's sort of out in the open a bit more. And I have to try and manage that and communicate with the clients about trying to maintain confidentiality. You know, some people just don't seem to like, I don't know if they haven't thought about it, or I think they're the kind of people that they wouldn't mind. Like they're not such like private, they're not very private people maybe, or something, and they sort of don't really get it, and I have to kind of explain that to them.
Yeah, it's tricky. And I guess for me, when I'm walking out in public with somebody, with a client, then you get people that recognize somebody and, oh, that's somebody, and want to have a chat. You're like, oh, okay, good to see you. Off we go. Just steer them around.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've had that
that's one thing.
before too. I can't remember a specific situation, but I've had that before too, where I've had to like sort of be, yeah, quite like, okay, bye, like to someone. Oh, that's who it was. The neighbors came around who I'd like never met. They're over the back fence. This is the kind of thing that can happen. So I posted a picture of the neighbors' horses on Facebook group, being like, hey, are these your horses? If so, you're my new neighbor, because we got a new neighbor in the rental that's on the back property of like the over our back fence, that property, and they have horses. So I was like, oh, I should meet them because, you know, like in case their horses get stuck in the fence or whatever. That is actually they actually did do that. So anyway, but I was just like, hi guys, you know, I'm your neighbor, like hi, just introduced myself in the community group. But the other neighbor next to them, they saw the post. But so that I posted it at some point, I don't know, in the morning or whatever. And then now it's the afternoon and I've got a client here. And the other neighbor, who it's got nothing to do with, who I've never met, rocks up and like drives up into my driveway and while I was outside. And so they were like, I was like, hi. Like, and they're like, hello. And I'm like, wait, blah, blah, blah. So, and they were saying something about the horses next door. And I was like, what's going on? But it took like 5 minutes of conversation for us to all understand what actually was happening right now, which is that they thought that I'd taken a photo of the horses because they had made their way into my paddock. So they thought that they had to come and get the horses, but they're not their horses. And also, you can't get them through the fence. So I was like, what are you doing? That's why it took me so long to understand what they were doing there, you know? And I was like, what is happening right now? But it was so disruptive. I was like, oh, okay. And I had to be like, okay, bye. Like, you know, and but it was the neighbor. So then I was like, oh, how do I now navigate? Like, I wanted to like contact a neighbor again and be like, sorry for being short and, you know, putting an end to that conversation and sending you on your way and not being very neighborly, but I was with a client. But then I don't really want to say I was with a client because that is the breach of the confidentiality. So I was like, damn it,
Yeah.
how do I handle this? I need an adult.
Yeah.
The kind of stuff that can happen. And so, you know, if people are, I know nobody asked us this question, but if anyone's considering outdoor practice, it's awesome. Like Sue was saying, it is really, really awesome. And heaps of benefit. I love it. Like I absolutely love it. So, and I like the same stuff that you were saying before too, Sue. Like I really love it. So more of it, but there's a few little challenges to navigate along the way.
Certainly
Right, so I'm gonna let you go because I'm aware that you've got a client. rocking up in 15 minutes. So I'll let you go and get sorted. But thank you so much for talking to me today about your little therapy dog and outdoor practice journey. It's been awesome to talk to you about that stuff. And again, congratulations on, your tenacity. It's really impressive. So, I just keep seeing Sue's name pop up over all this time, like she's, chipping away at it and that sort of stuff. And there are others. So, I know you don't know this, but there are other teams who are doing the same thing. Like, and I'll get an email from them every sort of so often, and they're like, I'm just doing this now. And I'm like, okay, that's good. Let me know if you need anything. So just to hear your story, I think would be pretty encouraging for the people that are still chipping away at it, and they might have gotten, like, maybe I should just let this go and give up or whatever, and let this be a inspiration to you guys that, if you really do want it to happen for you, Sue's been a great example of seeing it through. So well done.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been, such an exciting opportunity for me because I do listen to your podcast. So I'm like, yay, I'm gonna be on there. Just
Yes.
before you go, I've got some photos of Bonzi that I thought might be nice to share. Is
Please
that possible with us,
do
Sam,
let me
without
just pop this
accessing driving?
there you go. Go for it.
If I share my screen. That's Fonzie. That's one of his boundaries out on one of our walks.
Oh,
That
he's a
little
good
gap.
boy. He's a good-looking dog. That's a real dog-looking dog, isn't it?
A good-looking dog.
Yeah.
And then he's with his little bandana.
Oh, he looks so handsome. How's the lighting? Beautiful. Oh, look at him. He looks like a dingo.
Yeah. So that was TikTok this morning. We took that out on our walk. There's one
Oh.
of his little. He's please let me chase that stick, Mum.
Oh, bless him.
That's enough. You've seen enough.
I was looking before when we were talking to see if I could find, did you do a bonus round video?
Yeah. Do you want me to send you a copy?
Maybe do that. Maybe we can just add it at the end. Thank you so much, Sue, for joining us and talking to us about the lovely Fonzie. We're really excited to see what you guys get up to in the future, and thank you so much for being a great inspiration to everybody.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. It's a really nice community to be part of with the therapy dogs. So, yeah, loving it.
Our absolute pleasure. You have a good week.
You too.
Bye.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in studying with Therapy Dogs Australia or you have a few more questions before deciding, please get in touch with us by emailing courses@therapydog.com.au or visiting our website at www.therapydog.com.au for more information and FAQs.